What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Prime Time Sports Fix Show. And I'm your host, Royce Morgan, coming at you again to satisfy your sports fix. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/PTSportsFix. Make sure you guys are following us on that Twitter at PT Sportsfix, because that is where all of our content will be posted first. Any new podcasts, any new videos, any new daily fantasy sports betting, all of those plays will be posted on Twitter first. So make sure you're all following us on that Twitter account at PT Sportsfix. Make sure you guys follow us on the gram, Instagram at Prime Time Sports Fix on Instagram. And also make sure you like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to youtube.com and type in Prime Time Sports Fix on the YouTube as well, as we'll be updating that and getting more videos on that very, very soon. On this episode, we're talking all things NBA, no NFL on this episode. Also, too, if you guys want to hear my thoughts on the NBA draft lottery, make sure you refer back to the last podcast we got to the NBA draft lottery as well. So we're talking all things NBA on this podcast. The Denver Nuggets beat the Lakers in a 4-game sweep, advanced to their first finals in history. We got LeBron possibly talking about retirement, and the Lakers. We're also talking the Boston Celtics Miami Heat series on the verge of a sweep. The Celtics players not showing no heart. And we're going to talk about one of my favorite players, Carmelo Anthony, retiring. So much to get to on this episode of the podcast. So make sure you guys sit back and relax. Get yourself a beverage, a drink, anything you want. And we're going to get into all that on the Prime Time Sports Fix Show right after this. Don't you go anywhere. All right, one thing we did forget to mention, you can listen to us on all your favorite podcast platforms. We're on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and you listen to your favorite podcast. We are there for you. You can listen to us in your smart speakers, in your car, in your headphones, anywhere. Of course, just type in Prime Time Sports Fix. Also, you can make sure you go to our Twitter and check out our Dub Club, where you can get all of my plays for daily fantasy and sports betting. You can get it texted, emailed to you as well. All of my plays will be there. We're still running a free trial until the 24th. So make sure you check that out for our Dub Club, PT Sports Fix, on there. And also, just one quick reminder, we are your one-stop shop for everything NBA, NFL, daily fantasy, and sports betting. So if you want this type of content, you're going to want to stay subscribed to here, and make sure you follow us on all social media platforms to get all of our content as well, because we want to satisfy your sports fix and satisfy your sports betting fix and your daily fantasy fix. All right, we are back on the Prime Time Sports Fix Show. The Denver Nuggets pull out a sweep 4-0 of the Los Angeles Lakers. And I know there are some sweeps where they're just not competitive. There are some where one or two games are okay. This was a 4-game sweep where every single game was close in the fourth quarter. Like, very close. And I know it's as simple as win or lose in this sport, but the competitive drive of the Lakers compared to the Boston Celtics is ridiculous. Like, they've actually made these games watchable. And LeBron James just puts up an amazing virtuoso of a performance. I mean, he goes for 30 points in the first half. Just vintage LeBron. Just, like, amazing. Vintage LeBron. I mean, he goes off. LeBron finishes the game with 40 points. And people were saying LeBron has not scored, I believe, over 30 since the bubble year, or right before the bubble year. The bubble year was the last time he scored 30 points in a playoff game. LeBron shuts up the hater, drops 40 10 and 9 assists, and he shot 60% from the field, 15 of 25, hit 4 out of 7 threes, and he played all but, I believe, 35 seconds of this game. He literally, at 38 years old, played all of 35 seconds of the game. LeBron James, like I said, literally had an amazing game. But getting to the winners, Denver Nuggets, I don't want to spend all this time on the Lakers because Denver deserves a whole lot of credit. And Denver, who played Minnesota in the first round, the second round played Phoenix, kind of messed around. And this Denver team learned from their mistakes early in the playoffs, and they went for the kill. And they really went out there and win. And this team of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray, their 1-2 punch is something special and something that could be special going forward. And they just have the right pieces around them. And while Denver, they have one of the best starting fives. I wouldn't say, and there are some teams that are like super deep. Denver Nuggets, they have this really, really great versatile starting five. And they have Bruce Brown, who's a Swiss Army knife off the bench. And they have Jeff Green, the wily veteran. And they also play, the one rookie guy. I can't think of his name at the moment. But really only play seven guys, really. They really only play seven guys, really. But their starting five is so good, so versatile, so long, and so tall. Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon both can switch between the three and the four. And Aaron Gordon plays backup center minutes. And then you got KCP, who I have not mentioned, who played for the Lakers on the bubble championship team. He has greatly, I don't know, his jump shot is like better than it was. And he was always a 3-and-D guy, really. And has some athleticism, but his jumper is either just better with the Nuggets, gotten better, or he just somehow shoots it better because the way the Denver Nuggets offensive scheme is working with the ball movement and Jokic is passing and being so unselfish. I don't know what it is, but KCP, but just this, the depth of his starting five and just the interchangeable pieces and the defensive versatility of Aaron Gordon and KCP, and also making Jamal Murray and Jokic and Porter buy in. Michael Porter is finally buying in defensively a bit. Michael Porter was a terrible defender, and he's finally playing average to above average defense because of the players around him and Michael Malone continuing to preach defense. And Bruce Brown comes in, plays defense. He can play three out of four positions, plays a 2, 3, and 4. He was actually the backup power forward for the Nets last year. He can pass the ball well, can rebound well, and can score. He's gotten his shot a lot better. And Jeff Green is just very good. He can spot up, shoot still. He can still actually dunk on people. And he plays average. He was a very good defender. Now he's an average defender, but above average. Very, very smart and wily. So this Denver Nuggets team deserves a whole lot of credit. Just looking, look up and down the team, like I said, going at this starting lineup. I mean, you had Jokic, who has set a triple-double record for the playoffs. He ends up this game with a triple-double, has 30 points, 14 boards, and 13 assists, and 3 blocks for somebody who said they can't play defense. And I even said he's not a huge defensive player, but he took on the challenge today. Goes off looking at some of the other players on the team, the box score. You look, KCP has 13 points, his 3 3-pointers, plays solid defense. Aaron Gordon had his best offensive game of the series, had 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 blocks, and hit 3 of 5 threes. And this was the guy they were slacking off, letting him shoot, having AD roam with it. He comes up with a huge performance in game 4 elimination game on the road. And usually your role players do not play well on the road. Michael Porter had 15 points and 10 rebounds. Did not shoot it well, 5 of 16, hit 3 of 10 threes. But Michael Porter is doing more of the little things. He's rebounding. He's playing better defense, like I said, and he's doing a lot more of the intangible stuff here. And Jamal Murray actually had his only subpar game of the series. Jamal Murray, as far as shooting goes, well, never mind. Let me take that back. Jamal Murray actually did have 25, and not seem like he had a big game. 25 out of 10 of 18, did not hit a 3-pointer today, but did have 5 of 5 free throws and 5 assists. Jamal Murray, like I said, was just the steady hand and the clutch player in the fourth quarter. And this actually fourth quarter went a lot different, a lot more defense, and Jokic hitting some amazing shots. He literally had a drive towards the end of the game, which was the final bucket to get them the lead with 54 seconds left, and he hit a one-legged fadeaway behind the head three, like LeBron James said, was just like Larry Bird. It was amazing. It was like ridiculous how Nikola Jokic did this. And LeBron James just shook his head at the press conference. He actually said, "You tip your cap to him." He like literally looked like Larry Bird. And Jokic is someone that is very crazy, and he's very interesting because he does people that are not basketball fans watch him, and he looks very slow, ugly. He's fundamentally sound, but Nikola Jokic kind of reminds me of a Dirk Nowitzki remix with way better passing, obviously the best centering passer ever, and a mean streak and toughness to him. And Dirk had this toughness to him, but Dirk didn't have really a mean streak in him, and he did not have the passing. Dirk didn't wish he didn't have a mean streak, but he was tough because he could, like I said, post. But Jokic has like a mean streak. Like he will knock you down, he will hit you, he will bang with you. You saw what he did when he gets mad, he gets into allegations with people. I mean, he pushed one of the Morris twins, and he was out for like half the season. So Jokic just has this mean streak in old school, which I love about him. And the more you watch Jokic, if you're a true basketball fan, even though he runs slow, I mean, he's slow and methodical, he does it at his own pace, and it's just amazing to watch. It's kind of like watching my Golden State Warriors with the passing and just the fundamentally sound, just the way the game should be played. So just amazing stuff there. So going back to the Lakers, this team, the Lakers, had a great year considering they were starting 3 of 10. Russell Westbrook is on there, and I don't think Russell should get the blame. Like I said, it's not just because they traded Westbrook, but they got a whole lot of new players. They get Rudy Hachimura, they get D'Angelo Russell, they get Michael Beasley, they get Austin Reeves emergence this year, and then they get Mo Bamba. So they just get a whole, they turn their roster. I believe they got 6 new players, and they were all rotation pieces. And Dennis Schroeder, so I mean, they get the point guard spot. So, and this team is, like I said, hardly under contract. There's only 3 under contract: Anthony Davis, LeBron, and one of the G League players, I believe. So a lot of uncertainty. They say they're going to match any offer for Rudy Hachimura or Austin Reeves unless they try to go get a Kyrie Irving, who was at the game, fueling rumors. And also I see a report that the Lakers may be interested in getting Trae Young as well, a former clutch, current clutch client, but on the Atlanta Hawks. So we will see what happens with the Lakers. Getting really quick to LeBron James talking about he might retire. This came out about hours after the game with Chris Haynes and Dave McMiniman. And I've been watching, and it does not seem like it's fake, but I still do think with Carmelo Anthony's best friend retiring and some other things, I think LeBron is just kind of feeling some of his basketball mortality happen. I mean, he actually lost after dropping 40, 10, and 9, and they don't win. And he sees Carmelo retiring. And also, too, LeBron is working with, I believe it's the director or filmmaker of The Last Dance. So there's also that. And also, LeBron does like to make subtle comments to the media in order to get the front office to get more stars and better players there, because he said he only competes for championships now. So we're going to see. And I'm not going to say that there's no way he can retire, But because it's possible LeBron could take a season off. I mean, LeBron, unlike Jordan and some other players, he has not taken a season off. So maybe LeBron has to take this surgery for his foot. Maybe he takes some time off next year. That's possible. Like I said, maybe it's just his subtle thing. I find it still highly unlikely that he would retire right now. I know the end is coming, but I don't think it's coming this year. He said he wants to play a Bronny. Also, he was supposed to play a Bronny. Also, here now though, he said he wants to play a Bronny, but maybe Bronny does not. Maybe his goal of playing a Bronny may not happen because he wants doesn't mean Bronny wants it. So I'm still putting this at a less than 20% chance LeBron retires. I think this is subtle, but he definitely might need a break. And you ask athletes after a tar far series after they don't win, you're always going to get an answer like this when they are closer to the end. When LeBron, Tom Brady, all these guys, when they lose and they're close to the end of their careers, they might be done in the next 2, 3, or 4 years. They always say things like this. I do want to appreciate the greatness of LeBron James, though. Seriously, I really do. Not doing the whole GOAT debate stuff. I don't want to do that. But LeBron James, we are truly going to miss LeBron James when he's gone. I don't care what no one says, haters. LeBron James has always been an amazing player. To live to the hype has been amazing. All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to get into this Boston-Miami series really quick. See if Boston's going to have any fight or are they going to get swept. We also got Carmelo Anthony retiring coming up as well. So don't you go anywhere on the Primetime Sports Fix Show. All right, we are back on the Primetime Sports Fix Show. Getting into really quick the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat series. I don't want to spend a super amount of time here because it looks like Miami is just going to sweep the Celtics. They're up 3-0 the game before. Gabe Vincent drops 28 points. Caleb Martin continues to go off. And Duncan Robinson, who was considered to be one of the worst contracts in the league, who's making like a long-term deal of $90 million. Now, all of that's not guaranteed. But on a crazy contract with the injuries to Tyler Herro and Victor Oladipo getting playing time, and he is looking like a better type of J.J. Redick. I mean, the shooting and then the dribble handoffs and then the alley-oop to Bam Adebayo. And Jimmy Butler, I've been saying this for a while. Jimmy Butler is a playoff superstar, but Jimmy Butler possesses what most of the NBA does not possess anymore. He possesses a competitive will that is hardly matched by most of the players in today's NBA. I would say Jimmy Butler is probably one of maybe 7 to 9 players, you could say maybe 10. I don't want to give the list now, but of players that have the competitive will that is to kill you and to take your heart out. Jimmy Butler has that. And Jimmy Butler is not the most skilled, but his will and his fundamentally sound and his IQ. Because so many players in the NBA do not have the will and the IQ and fundamentals of the game like Jimmy Butler has. Jimmy Butler is just dominating these teams and these players right now. Also, you can credit that to amazing coaching and an amazing system. And also, even I know people hate to say it, the Heat culture. The Heat, just like the Spurs, have a culture, they said. Now, it's different than the Spurs because the Spurs obviously drafted great and they have Greg Popovich as well, and they always draft great international players. But the Spurs can't really attract free agents there. The Miami Heat can attract free agents there in this day and age. South Beach is probably one of two the most desirable places to live in the NBA other than Los Angeles, probably there, and New York, but it's probably still top 2 or 3 because it's warm and you get a tax discount and you're in South Beach. So with the coaching and the GM of Pat Riley and just the culture, you're going to get players there No matter what, because you can have culture and great coaching, but you do have to have the players. They have all three. And Bam Adebayo, I wouldn't say he's a superstar player. He's a very good number two. I would say he's a little bit better of a Draymond Green. But with all of these undrafted players, the system and great coaching, they have just found a way to play above the sum of their parts. And the confidence that Jimmy Butler gives his players as well as the coaching staff makes these undrafted players very good. And they play a very big role. You got shooters, you got defenders, and you got competitive. I think the biggest thing about this team, though, they have a big advantage in just their competitive and their competitive and also just their heat culture of being of always competing, as well as just running the right fundamental plays. I mean, you got the defense, they're playing zone, they're playing man, and they switch it up every other quarter, and they have offensive sets. There are very few coaches that even run offensive sets in the NBA. Only the best coaches do. And Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in the NBA, and I put Ty Lue in that top three, but Eric Spoelstra is probably the best, arguably the best. I think he probably is the best coach. And when you all go all the way back when he was with three alphas, when they just said he is riding the coattails of LeBron, D-Wade, and Bosh, you see why Pat Riley gave him a chance. And Pat Riley has tutored him all this time. Eric Spoelstra is strong and firm. He's fair, but he's an amazing coach. And he has the, because Eric Spoelstra possesses the X's and O's, but he also possesses the motivational and also commanding a room in respect of his players, which is super hard in this day and age for coaches, is to be able to get the players' respect when they're making so much money nowadays, as well as X's and O's adjustments. There are very, very few coaches that can do that. So I just want to say that for Miami. Boston, they're a mess. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I don't think they need to be traded. I don't think there needs to be an issue with trading. Now, I have heard reports now that Ime Udoka is playing a big role in them not playing. They're still stunned over the organization. They did not give them a big thing. But Ime Udoka was the heartbeat of this team. I don't think Tatum and Brown are leaders, per se. I think Brown's a good leader. And also, I think Tatum and Brown lack somewhat a basketball IQ. And they seem to have went too much into the analytics of the NBA now, which is threes and drives. And I think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, they're not great at driving to the hole like some players. I think they can drive to the hole, but they don't have, I would consider, great moves in driving to the hole. So they're not able to get there like certain point guards and certain players. And neither one of them are like amazingly strong. They're both athletic, but I don't think they have what I would call the moves to get there against tough defense. And they don't play in the post at all. They don't play in the mid post. They don't play in the high post. They only seem to shoot threes right now and get to the hole. And Miami is just forcing them to not do that. So it's looking very bad right now. Also, they're not playing defense like they did last year. They're become an offensive team with this new head coach. So this has been the huge difference with this Boston Celtics team this year. And I think that's why they're down. The question is, will they fight in game four? They got humiliated in game three. Like I said, this is Ime Udoka situation, the coaching. And Joe Mazzulla has not been, I would say, a good coach, but this is his first year. He's 34 years old. He was behind the bench. He does not have an assistant coach that's highly experienced. So some of this is just, I mean, I think Boston thought they could just hire any coach with the talent and just win. And they are talented, but this team does need, I think, a really good head coach as well as good principles in order to make this work. So we'll see what happens here with this team. But I'm hoping Boston can at least come out and fight tonight. If they lose, they lose. But they need to come out and fight, man. I mean, you got the Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum trade talks heating up again because they're about to get paid. I think you more so trade, get some players around them. I think Marcus Smart is not a real point guard for them. And I think when you have two wings, you have to have a point guard. If both your wings are not great playmaker distributors, you need to have a point guard to set them up. And Marcus Smart can pass the ball, but that does not still mean you're a point guard. Just because you can pass the ball and you can make some good passes does not mean you're a true point guard. And I think that's what Marcus Smart is. Obviously, there's a lot of combo guards in today's NBA. He's a combo guard. He's a great defender. And he's not even playing defense like he usually does either. So, a lot of questions about the Celtics, but I did not think they needed to get rid of, I'll have probably more another podcast on the Boston Celtics as well, because they're probably going to lose this series no matter what, but we'll get into that more in off season. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we're going to get into Carmelo Anthony's retirement. Carmelo retires from the NBA. We're going to get into all that right after this on the Prime Time Sports Fix Show. All right, we are back on the Primetime Sports Fix Show, getting into Carmelo Anthony retiring from the NBA after 19 seasons. Carmelo, man, before I get into accomplishments, I really felt that Carmelo Anthony should have been on an NBA team this year. There were whispers that he was going to get a job a couple different times this year. There are a number of teams that could use him. I would say out of 30 teams, at least almost half of the NBA should be signing this guy. He accepted a bench role. He's fine coming off the bench. He stopped being more of an isolation scorer. He actually, the last few years, been playing like for Team USA, where he makes quick decisions and shoots three-point shots and shoots mid-range shots. He's gotten his three-point shot up a lot. He became a very good three-point shooter. Now, you can say Carmelo is not good defensively. You can say that, I guess you could say. But in a bench and like a spark scorer role, I think he could still give you 15 to 20 minutes. Now, I understand the playoffs, the way there you need two-way players would have been a little bit harder, but there are certain games where you just need an offensive score, an offensive punch. And if teams would stop switching everything so much, then you could play these offensive players who may not be great defenders, and you could play more zone. You could find some way. Now, it's very hard to hide a player in today's NBA because what they'll do is they'll literally do a pick and roll, and then if they don't switch, they'll keep doing it. But the person that's doing it could, you just have to have other players work harder on defense. But the biggest thing you could do is just play a zone. Now, in the NBA, you usually don't play a zone for long stretches, but like I said, you play a zone for the stretches he's in. The Miami Heat do a very good job of that, I think. Now, they're obviously, you can't have a bunch of offensive players that can't play defense. I'm just talking about as a bench and minimum contract player, he should have been in the NBA this year. Carmelo Anthony can win you regular season games with his offensive explosion scoring punch off the bench still. Now, I'm not sure if he's still at the point where he can win you a playoff game, but he's very close because six-man players like this can win you like certain games like this, because in the playoffs it becomes a half-court game and it becomes a totally different thing, like I said. But getting off into that, Carmelo Anthony, though, it's a lot of six-man scorers that are not playing that should be playing. Isaiah Thomas, who's not been signed back this year. Isaiah Thomas should be playing. There's a bunch of other guys. Boogie Cousins. I mean, there's a bunch of these six-man guys that are supremely talented in this NBA, which, like I said, the league is about skilling, offensive skill and talent now. But it seems like they only want the stars to be those guys, and the role players have to pretty much be 3-and-D guys or one or the other, and they don't want you to be bad at defense. But I understand that. I understand defense is very important, but you can find a way to scheme it to where, because you need some of these offensive creative guys off of your bench, because your star players are not going to have it every single night, and you have to be able to do so. Have to have some other players that could score besides a catch and shoot three pointer. Because in the playoffs, they're going to take away your best thing, and they're going to take away what everybody likes to do, which is layups and threes nowadays. And like I said, I love analytics, and I love the shooting, I love layups, but you got to be able to shoot mid-range, you got to be able to create your own shot. But anyway, so Carmelo Anthony should be on the team this year. Didn't want to get to a huge thing on that, but Carmelo Anthony was one of the greatest scorers the NBA has ever seen. One of the true three-level scorers, scoring at the rim, mid-range, and threes, and had handles, and could post up, and had one of the best jab steps and just face-up game of the NBA. I would consider him a way more explosive Paul Pierce, because Paul Pierce was a three-level scorer. Paul Pierce, even when he was younger, was not very explosive. Carmelo Anthony, I would consider an explosive first step. He was athletic, and he was super, super strong and big. Like, Carmelo Anthony could rebound. Like, he in college, he was every 10 rebounds a game. He could offensive rebound. He could defensive rebound. And I think people don't give Carmelo Anthony enough credit for being more than just a scorer. He was a great rebounder. And Carmelo Anthony could pass the ball. Carmelo Anthony could pass the ball and make his teammates better. I do think he may have had a little bit of leadership stuff earlier in his career in Denver. But I think Carmelo became a very good leader. I just think Carmelo just never had the team around him in New York and in Denver. Denver made it to the Western Conference Finals one time with him. That one team, I believe, with Kenyon Martin, Marcus Camby, and Andre Miller, I believe, and J.R. Smith off the bench. So Carmelo, I mean, he had some good teams. The New York teams never really got to be very good together. And Carmelo Anthony, I will say, to some of his own fault, he wanted more money because he could have went to Miami with the big three. And because, like I said, Carmelo, I was really about his money during his play. I will say that. I always believe Carmelo was about winning too, but he was about his money, and I understand that. So I just think Carmelo Anthony never had a big chance. He has played with talent. Like you said, he played with Allen Iverson one year. But imagine if Carmelo had been drafted by that Detroit team. They had a chance to pick him number two when they picked Darko Milicic, who was out of the league, I believe, in 4 years. And that team had Chauncey Billups. It had Ben Wallace. And it had Rasheed Wallace on that team as well, and Tayshaun Prince. Now, it would have been some issue with Tayshaun Prince. Might have had to come off the bench, or they might have Carmelo come off the bench, but that Detroit team could have won multiple titles. And that's the biggest thing you could think of. Well, what if they landed him? I do not. I'm pretty sure Tayshaun Prince was drafted the year before. You could say Tayshaun Prince may not have become a player he became, but and they had Richard Hamilton too. I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm missing a player. I'm missing Richard Hamilton. I don't think they had Rasheed Wallace. I think Rasheed Wallace came in that trade later on that year. But man, that Detroit team would have been amazing. Like, wow. That would have changed Carmelo Anthony's total outlook on his career. But Carmelo Anthony didn't ever win a championship, but was a three-time Olympic champion. He's probably going to go down as the greatest Olympian in the USA basketball. I mean, he won. He was on the teams that lost at first. He was on that team with LeBron, and they were losing at first. But they were one of the first teams to like win that bronze medal. One of the first USA teams to lose, and they got blown out. But Carmelo Anthony's a top 10 scorer. He was number 9th in all-time scoring. Just an amazing, amazing scorer. He used to dominate my Bulls. He would just the moves in the face-up game and post-ups with the mid-range and the three-point shot being silky smooth and the explosive first step with the strength was on par. But Carmelo Anthony seriously is probably as in the top 5 or top 6 of skill scorers ever. You put him up there with Jordan, Kobe, Tracy McGrady, and Kevin Durant. Like, he is in that class of amazing scores. And I don't care if he did not win a championship. I think people are put too much on championships nowadays. And I do know this is about winning. But I think they put too much on, because this is not a one-man sport. Now, stars do affect your team winning a lot more in the NBA than football or, say, baseball or something. But you do need to have the right team and right coaches around you. And I think that we've put too much emphasis on championships, which is why you see these players now doing super teams and things like that. And then you got the devaluing of championship, because you get these super teams together. And like I said, they have not won the last couple of years, which is somewhat good. As much as I love my Golden State Warriors, that was a super team. As much as I love Golden State and Steph Curry, I love them. Like I said, I still love them, but they were a super team. I will say that. And LeBron James, who started this. But, I mean, Carmelo Anthony, without the championship, amazing. If you didn't see on the social media, he had put out an amazing video of himself retiring, about a 2-minute video of himself talking about his son and how his journey is through him and stuff. And it was the bittersweet of him leaving the NBA, which is what I was saying, then why he should have been in the NBA. It's bittersweet because they're literally pushing him out because of the analytics and his so-called defense. And there was, of course, these rumblings about him being a bad teammate and leadership. And everyone has pretty much said that should be BS. All of his coaches, Mike Woodson, said that. A lot of other people said that Carmelo Anthony is like one of their favorite teammates and one of their favorite players to play with ever. Like, they said Carmelo Anthony, Jim Boeheim, his Syracuse coach, said his players would just love playing with him. And he was, like I said, a pleasure to coach. So I don't know why people are coming up with that Carmelo is not coachable or bad teammate, bad leader BS. And his last couple of years on Portland and the Lakers, he was good. Portland, he was amazing. Like, Damian Lillard vouched for him, and he was doing an amazing job on Portland. I mean, he would just come in and just get buckets, hit threes. He would heat up, and you need those microwave scores in the NBA anyway. So Carmelo Anthony, amazing career. First ballot Hall of Famer. I don't care if he wins a championship. They also take in college. He won a national championship there. He's won 3 gold medals and was just an amazing scorer his whole career. So, Carmelo, we appreciate you. We love you. Thank you so much for giving all you did to the game. It was amazing. And like I said, I hope you find... help your son make it to the next level and you find peace, brother. Because Carmelo Anthony was an amazing, amazing scorer and amazing, amazing player. And he's a great person also, if you see all the charitable stuff that he does as well. So Carmelo, with one of the best names ever, Carmelo Mello, Hoodie Mello. Carmelo just had the style. It was amazing. So Carmelo Anthony, we appreciate you and we love you. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to wrap it up on this episode of the Prime Time Sports Fix Show. Don't you go anywhere. All right, that's about going to do it on this episode of the Prime Time Sports Fix Show. We got into all things NBA, got into the Denver Nuggets sweep of the Lakers 4-0. Jamal Murray, actually, one quick stat. Jamal Murray actually is the first player ever to shoot 50% and average, I believe, was 25 points and still shoot 40% from 3 in the conference finals. I believe that was his amazing stat he had. Got that. We also talk about LeBron possibly retiring in his amazing game. Also got into the Boston Celtics Miami Heat, what's going on with them, and are they going to be swept, and the possible changes and what's going on in that series. And we also got to the Carmelo Anthony retirement today, which is crazy. But make sure you guys are following us on all our social media platforms. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/PTSportsFix. Like I said, you want to follow us on the Twitter machine because that's where all of our content will be posted first. twitter.com/PTSportsFix. Make sure you follow us on the gram, Instagram at Prime Time Sports Fix. Make sure you like and subscribe on YouTube. Just type in YouTube and type in Prime Time Sports Fix on YouTube. And you can listen to us on all your favorite podcast platforms. We're on Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, You want to see your favorite podcast? We are there for you in your headphones, in your car speakers, Alexa, anywhere. We're there for you. And also make sure you check out my Twitter. You can check out my Dub Club for PC Sport Fix to get my daily fantasy plays and sports betting plays that I'll be putting out daily on there as well. So make sure you checking us out on that Twitter as well. Well, there's not much else to say. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. And I'm your host, Royce Morgan. Gonna get out of here. A lot more important updates to come. So make sure you follow us on Twitter. Gonna have the sports betting and daily fantasy plays podcast coming out soon. I'll do a daily fantasy picks and plays within 5 or 10 minutes for the day during the week. And of course, we're still going to have these episodes talking about NBA and NFL and covering the NBA playoffs. And of course, you might see little videos here and there as we're going to make sure we keep you guys up to date and keep satisfying your sports fix and satisfy your sports betting fix and your daily fantasy fix. Royce Morgan, I'm out of here. I appreciate you guys. Deuces. Peace out, y'all. Love you.